everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's May 2022, and this is episode 289, which is a discussion about Christian imagination and the Bible. On this episode, I'm joined by Caleb Woodbridge, who is the Publishing Director for InterVarsity Press UK. Caleb has written an online exclusive article for the Christian Research Journal, and his article is called How Reading the Bible Imaginatively Helps Bypass Our Overfamiliarity. And our subscribers can read it for free online at our website, equip.org. Now, we would like to encourage you to subscribe if you haven't already done so. We are trying to grow our subscription base, and we are offering some very special pricing for our subscriptions, specifically for the months of May and June 2022, to help us with our fiscal year end. We're asking you to become a partner and receive a subscription to the Christian Research Journal. So for a gift of $30 or more, you can get a subscription to our journal, which is a retail value of $33.50. For two subscriptions for your gift of $55 or more, three subscriptions for a gift of $75 or more, and you can receive four subscriptions for a gift of $100 or more. And in addition to that, you receive two hard copy books, one of each of the following from our archives of the best of the Christian Research Journal. The first one is What is Truth? And the second one is Whose Ethics, Whose Morals? You do not want to miss out on this very special pricing for our journal. And as I said, not only do you get the print edition right to your door, you also get all of this access to the online exclusive articles. So now back to the podcast. Caleb, it's good to have you on.
Thanks for having me back. It's great to join you.
Well, Caleb has written an article, like I said, about Christian imagination and the Bible. And that's a really important topic because, as our listeners know, that we think about Christian and imagination because we cover so much cultural apologetics on this podcast. And so a lot of times we'll get the question that people are not sure, Christians are not sure, why in the world would we even cover movies or fiction books or TV series and that kind of thing? Because when we think about Christian imagination, I think a lot of people think that those kinds of things are not for Christians. So I'm really fascinated by your article. And what do you think that the Bible has to say about the imagination? Because many times, as I said, some of the people who critique some of our coverage on YouTube would say that this is not something really that Christians should be concerned with at all. So I'm curious to know if the Bible has anything to say and has, you know, how much does it have to even say about imagination?
I think it's easy to think that imagination is a bit of a frivolous optional extra. It's like a fun thing, but it's just a bit of a distraction. It's not really something all that important or integral to the Christian life or to Christian discipleship. And particularly if you just take a search and search the word imagination through the Bible, you'll generally just find a few references, often quite negative in terms of vain imaginings and things like this, sort of talking about idolatrous imagination and stuff, or perhaps saying about how God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, and so how God's stuff exceeds our imagination. So on the face of it, it doesn't seem very promising. I think that's a mistake, and that's a sort of superficial way of looking at it. And particularly once you dig into what the Bible has in mind by the heart and the sort of broad sense of that as the sort of whole self, not only what we think and believe, but how we feel and desire and imagine. I think this idea of, for example, the eyes of our heart, we're very much getting into the territory of the imagination. So the concept is there, even if the word is used fairly infrequently. So I think that would be my sort of initial way in terms of the Bible has an awful lot to say about our heart and the desires of our heart and the imaginings of our heart. And just as we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, it's not just a narrow sense of the intellect, but the whole way we think and feel and imagine needs renewing. we need to work out what that means for our imaginations.
So why don't you kind of break down for us some of the different senses or ways we would think about the term imagination? Because I think a lot of times when someone says the word imagination, what people think of, or maybe even Christians think of, is like making something up, like imaginary. So how would you define imagination?
Yeah, I think there's two particular senses of imagination that I think we mean by the word, two sort of poles, as it were. And one of that is the faculty of invention, of creation. And that's a wonderful thing. God made us creative in his image. And so that ability to create, to come up with new things, is a wonderful aspect of our divine image bearing, to be celebrated. But obviously there's a sense in which our faith is something received. And so to just make up ideas about God is very dangerous. There's that possibility of the imagination being misdirected in sort of idolatrous ways. So there is an appropriate caution there. But I think more fundamentally, the imagination isn't just about invention or creation or making stuff up. It's also about how we understand and perceive and see the world, the sort of imagination is the faculty of understanding and perception. And so in that sense, imagination is inescapable. When we open up the text of the Bible, when we open its pages, when we read the words, inevitably our imagination is involved in interpreting those words and in bringing them to life. When events in the Bible are described, we bring to bear our imagination in sort of thinking, what does that mean and how does that translate into our understanding, into our frame of reference? And I think we can either cultivate that and do that well and have an enriched understanding of God and his word, or we can neglect that and we can then have a flattened out or impoverished engagement with the Bible and all the riches that God has to speak to us through it.
Well, you just talked about engaging with scripture and having a richer experience with imagination. So how do you think imagination can help Christians engage in a better way with scripture?
Yeah, so I think particularly we benefit from that just in terms of that deeper understanding. One of the examples I refer to in my article is something that Tim Mackie and Andrew Peterson were talking about in one of their talks on Hutchmute Homebound, about how if you've experienced tasting honeycomb, fresh honeycomb, then when you come to the Psalms and it says your word is sweeter than honey from the comb, that embodied experience, that part of God's creation, is then enriching, and you can bring that to mind, and that gives you a point of connection to understand at a deeper level what exactly the psalmist is saying about exactly how good God's creation is. And I think there's all sorts of stuff like that in the Bible. And so much of it too is story, and we need imagination to sort of enter into that, to empathize with the different characters and the plots, and to get caught up and to be taken up in the situation. So that when the dramatic twists and turns happen, something like Joseph revealing his identity to his brothers who had tried to kill him, and you have that whole redemptive turn of forgiving them and blessing them, you're entering in and experiencing something of the joy and thrill of the story of the Bible and of how that echoes the larger gospel narrative. When your pulse is quickened by that story, all of that isn't just some frivolous extra, but part of God's design for how we receive his truth through story, through narrative, through being able to enter into the text and all that it has to say to us.
I want to tell you about a very special promotion that we're having to grow the subscriptions of the Christian Research Journal and get our magazine into more people's hands for Christians to be equipped, as we say in the tagline on our print edition, to be equipped in exercising truth and experiencing life. So we give you all kinds of articles that help you with Christian apologetics and doctrinal discernment, as well as articles that will help you grow in your faith and help you understand your union with Christ even more, including this subject that we're talking about today, about what it means to become older and what the Bible has to say about aging from a biblical perspective. And so here's how you can get a subscription, help us for our fiscal year end, and also to maybe give some subscriptions to friends, your pastor, or family members. And so if you go to this link, equip.org/product/journal offer, that's one word, journal offer, you will go to this landing page that will tell you that you can get a subscription for a gift to the ministry of $30 or more. And normally a subscription, as I mentioned on this podcast, is $33.50. You can get two subscriptions for a gift of $55 or more, three subscriptions for a gift of $75 or more, or four subscriptions for a gift of $100 or more. And you would receive two hardcover books, one copy each from the vault of the Best of the Christian Research Journal. And so we have a book called What is Truth? And another book that's called Whose Ethics, Whose Morals? So for a gift of $100 or more to the Christian Research Institute, you will get four subscriptions and two hardcover books. Plus, all of the subscriptions, as you know, include access to our online exclusive articles that you hear me mention a lot on this podcast. So you would get all the online exclusive articles as well as the print subscription right to your door. So please consider giving a gift for to help us for our fiscal year end, as well as spreading out the information for the Christian Research Journal to family and friends, and maybe even church staff members that you attend. It's a really great equipping gift. And so again, the URL is equip.org/product/journal offer. So as I said a few moments ago, you know, a lot of people don't think there's any benefit to really engage with imagination in terms of their faith. So why should Christians even bother with it? I mean, you know, why focus on imagination rather than things that are like theological study? In other words, you know, developing the Christian mind theologically and philosophically. You know, the Bible does call us to love God with all of our minds. So why would a Christian even care to focus on the imagination?
Yeah, so I think the Bible calls us to love God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind. And so it's not just a matter of knowing truth as an abstract intellectual proposition, but actually delighting in and loving it. And I think imagination trains our hearts. When we imagine something vividly and richly, it gives us joy in what is good and true and beautiful. When we really grasp imaginatively the wickedness of sin and of evil and of these things going on, when we really stop to think, oh, that thing that happened in that Bible story, and there's betrayal and murder and rape and all of these heartrending things that are described in the Bible, when that sits with us and we feel the weight of that, that's training our hearts to hate what God hates as well as loving the things that God loves. So I think it's very much a both and. We need the propositional content. We need to be getting our understanding of the Bible right exegetically. We need to be reflecting theologically on things, but we can't just let it remain abstract. It has to come down into our hearts and change the way we feel, instinctive reaction to things, so that it's more and more brought in line with God's design for us. The whole part of the affections in Christian life, and there's a rich theological tradition, Jonathan Edwards and so on, and many others have written in that. I think recently James K.A. Smith has been really helpful in some of his insights in his books, such as You Are What You Love.
So, you know, I did say that a lot of Christians are uncomfortable with thinking about their faith and imagination, and they see it as something that's not biblical. So why do you think that they feel nervous about imagination or engaging imagination when it comes to their faith?
I want to be careful not to sort of straw man in that stereotype, but I think, yes, evangelicals, particularly evangelicals who are more at the more strongly conservative theological end, have often struggled a bit with this. And I think it's sometimes so much an emphasis on getting things right, a good desire to really grasp truth, but sometimes maybe just relying overly much on the sort of authority side of things. And of course, God's word is authoritative, and I completely believe and embrace that. But I think often when we're struggling to accept something from God's word, it might be because we've not really grasped it fully, and we might be wrestling with it on a more emotional level. And I think rather than just turning up the volume and saying, well, you've got to accept it because the Bible says it's true and the Bible is God's word and is authoritative, that's not necessarily addressing the issue when people's longing is to see, okay, I see this is what's taught, but how is this good? Why is this beautiful? And I think that even in the hard teachings of scripture, things like the reality of hell and things like this, there is a deep wisdom and a deep goodness to be found when we understand these things in their full biblical picture. But we've got to dig into that, and that is both deepening our understanding but also directly and explicitly engaging with that question of the heart and how this is. Why is it that we feel in particular ways, and what are the stories that help us to understand this, the images, the metaphors? And I think that these things can really help when a propositional argument or exegesis can only get us so far in wrestling with these things. We aren't just thinking things. We are these creatures of imagination. We are embodied. We have hearts. We feel things in our guts, and so that's very much what the Bible speaks to us as these whole people. So imagination is one key dimension of wrestling with and grappling with that.
But is there a way in which engaging in our imaginations could be detrimental or, you know, distort biblical truth, or maybe even it can go wrong in some kind of sinful way?
Okay, so how can imagination go wrong and be distorted in unhelpful and sinful ways? Certainly, like all of God's good gifts, as sinners, we can use things in ways that are unhealthy and distort, rebellion against God rather than in line with the good ways in which he intends for us to use them. So imagination, like reason, can be used in a way that's contrary to God. And I think in C.S. Lewis and Tolkien's discussion about myth and history and the Christian faith, in the poem that C.S. Lewis wrote, Mythopoeia, he talked about myth being lies breathed with silver or something like that, or the light of truth sort of being distorted and reflected by sinful imagination, something to that effect. So I think Tolkien thought that was a bit too negative about myth, but I think there is that thing of in pagan religions, in false religions, we see the kind of ideas that people come up with when they invent gods of their own. And often those gods might be quite human or self-serving or violent, as we see in many of the pagan mythologies. And in more recent times, then you see new religions such as Scientology, and there's something reputed going around that L. Ron Hubbard had been saying at science fiction conventions in the 1940s that if you really wanted to get rich, you wouldn't write science fiction, you'd invent a religion. Now, Scientologists dispute that, and whether those claims can be believed is sort of open to dispute. But you can see how we can very easily use our imaginations to come up with ideas and stories and beliefs that are more palatable to us, that are more easily swallowed, that fit better with what we'd like to be true, disconnected from truth and reality. So I think we need to be really careful of that. And we need to be careful that we're using our creativity to engage with what the Bible really says and to wrestle with understanding it on its own terms, and not using imagination to come up with creative ways to bend it into the shape that we'd like it to have for our own reasons or our own agendas. So yeah, we need to be careful of that. And I think there is a valid warning and critique in sort of religion as wish fulfillment. Now, I don't think Christianity is that, but some of the things that religion in general can do in terms of giving convenient narratives to give certain people power or authority, there is that danger. And when Christianity goes wrong, it can perhaps fall into some of the same dangerous patterns where its teachings get distorted. So we need to guard that we're using imagination well and not abusing it in ways that are self-serving and against or untethered from God's revelation to us in the Bible.
So what are some very practical ways we can engage as Christians with the Bible more imaginatively? Because right now, for some people, this discussion might seem a little theoretical for them. So how could they practically apply this as they read scripture?
Yeah, so I think it's obviously an element where whenever we're approaching the Bible, we should be doing so prayerfully. And so one of the things we can do is to ask for God to open it up in a way that he is at work transforming us. And the imagination isn't an end in itself, but I think it is one of the ways, it's part of us through which God communicates. And so we can pray that the Holy Spirit will guide our imaginations and help us engage more deeply with what he wants to say to us as a whole person. And then I think something that both individually and corporately we can do is to really try to do a good job of reading the Bible with some expression and with sort of seeing that as something to be cultivated, particularly the public reading of the Bible, to be reading chunks and to be reading it well with expression and understanding, so that it's really bringing out the story or the argument or the through line or the poetry or imagery, so that we're honouring the text in doing it well. I had a really amazing experience once on a Christian youth conference called Contagious, where we were studying the book of Revelation over the course of the week. And on the first night, we had a dramatized reading of the whole book, and sort of there were different parts given to different people. There were some people with trumpets, we were all joining in when there's a great multitude and various sort of sound effects, and it was all really rooted in the Bible text. It was fun but not irreverent, but it really brought it to life, and the drama and the impact of those images, and it was really quite wonderful. So I think we can get creative in terms of how we read the Bible, both ourselves and individually in quiet times, which don't necessarily have to be quiet, and also in corporate settings. So those are a couple of things, and there's lots more that can be said, but I think just getting creative with how we engage with the text is a good start.
So that is one very interesting way to, engage with the Bible creatively. Are there any other good examples of Christian creative and imaginative engagement with the Bible? Because I don't think we normally think of approaching the Bible in that way.
Well, I think the Bible Project, is an example of where you've got a lot of creativity being applied to understanding the Bible and to opening up the text and its themes. So they've just got a ton of talent and some great artists and great careful thought in terms of bringing stuff to life visually. So I think that kind of thing. It's interesting because for kids, something like VeggieTales has a lot of creativity in bringing those stories to life. Although I'm slightly in two minds about it. I love the creativity on one level, but I also wonder whether we need to aspire to be a bit more to use a movie comparison, a bit more Pixar and a bit less DreamWorks, and sometimes maybe a bit less zany and aiming a bit more for emotional sincerity, while at the same time having the storytelling and the engaging of those animations. Because I think if you compare the sort of storytelling style of DreamWorks and Pixar, DreamWorks have often relied more on a irreverent, zany type of humour with lots of pop culture references, whereas Pixar is still fun and still really engaging, but perhaps putting more of a priority on the sincerity of the storytelling. So I think VeggieTales, but with an asterisk, if we can take that kind of creativity, but maybe take it in a more Pixar-like direction, that's something I'd really love to see more of. That's a bit of a tangent, but hopefully a useful illustrative one.
I want to tell our listeners that a few years ago, we featured something called the Word of God Audio Bible, and it's more than 22 hours of like just the New Testament is what we had featured. And it's a dramatic reading of the Bible by well-known actors. And sometimes that seems like it would be odd, but I have on occasion listened to dramatizations of the Bible, of people just reading actual scripture in a dramatic way. And I think that does help me think through more of, you know, just the reality of some of the truths of scripture or the gospels or, you know, the book of Acts or something like that.
That sounds good. And I think one of the things I enjoyed growing up was Adventures in Odyssey and some of the Imagination Station episodes where they sort of had the kids going back into Bible stories. Some of those were actually really well done and sort of brought the story to life in really good ways. So I think, yeah, sort of dramatization. Dorothy Sayers, The Man Who Would Be King, BBC radio drama that she did with telling Jesus' story is a great example as well of someone doing that really, really well. Also some of the best scholarship that brings to life the historical context and sort of draws together a narrative. I think Tom Wright's biography of Paul, in the way that it sort of pulls together the biblical material and joins some of the dots in terms of his story with sort of insights from first century history and archaeology and so on, that really helps. I found that a really interesting one in sort of bringing Paul to life in his context, digging into the history when that's done well and has an eye for the sort of vivid detail can really help give fresh appreciation and understanding of what's going on in the biblical narratives.
So help our listeners think through some Christian writers and thinkers that you can suggest that really help us to engage, you know, well with the questions of Christianity and imagination.
I've recently appreciated Andrew Peterson's Adorning the Dark, which has reflections on that. I haven't yet read his book, The God of the Garden, but I look forward to getting to that at some point soon, I hope. I think Ted Turnow is someone who I know is doing some good work on Christian imagination. He wrote Popologetics, Pop Culture and Christian Perspective, which I think your listeners would enjoy if they've not come across that already. And there's more that he's been talking on, which I hope IVP Publishing Director hat on to be off our presses in due course. Yeah, Jamie Smith again, his Cultural Liturgies trilogy. One of the books is called Imagining the Kingdom, and he talks helpfully about imagination. So worship as the sort of imagination station, and talks about how Christian worship, part of what it's doing, how it functions, is the sort of recalibrating of our imaginations to see the world through the eyes of the gospel and of the kingdom, reshapes our imaginations and the way we see the world, how we need that strong Christian formation to counter all of the other secular narratives that are trying to shape our imaginations in different directions. So lots of helpful stuff going on, but I think it's something that bears much more thought and examination to flesh out in more detail.
So are there any other aspects that you can talk to us about regarding Christian discipleship that can really be helped by imagination?
Yeah, so I think imagination has lots of dimensions. Another connection is the connection between imagination and empathy, which reminds me of another book to recommend, which is by Mary McCampbell on imagining our neighbours as ourselves. And so empathy and the Christian imagination. And one of the things that imagination can do is help us to enter into the experiences of others, which is an important part of Christian compassion and seeing people in need and being able to respond well to that. I think we need imagination to help us to imagine our lives transformed by God for the better, to imagine what does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus. And sometimes the changes in our lives that require some imagination to think what we could be doing for God and how we could be growing in our service for, and also then imagination in terms of transformation for society more generally. What does a good and flourishing and just society look like? What difference does it make for the kingdom of God to be, coming of the kingdom of God to in some way be reflected in the world today? And again, we need that creative imagination to think what difference it makes and to imagine how we can bring about those changes. So I think that God can answer our prayers more than we can imagine presupposes that we are praying imaginatively. So of course, God's imagination outruns ours, but I think we should be imaginative in our prayer in terms of vision of what we'd like God to change and to see and to do, to pray for that transformed world by God's power at work in and through his people.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Caleb. And we do this so that our listeners can get to know our authors a little bit better. Well, I'm sure you can tell from Caleb's accent that he lives in the UK and that he's British. And so we have a question for you. Or I have a question for you. Why do British people say maths instead of math? That's how we say it in the US.
Because it's not just mathematic. There's more than one type of mathematics. I don't know. Yeah, it's a funny difference that. But perhaps you guys can only handle the one math. We're able to juggle multiple maths. I'm not sure.
And it's almost summertime, so some people might be traveling. What advice would you give to someone traveling to the UK? Is there something that they should do in particular?
Visit Wales. I'm biased living in Wales, but I think it's one of the most beautiful parts of the UK, particularly North Wales, where I grew up with the mountains and the sea. Yeah, I think Britain has an awful lot to see and do, and there's wonderful history, and so much of that is driven by the sort of Christian heritage that's there. So there's some really good tours in the British Museum. You can get Christian tours, and in Cambridge, where you can sort of find out about the Christian roots and the difference those have made, and the sort of biblical archaeology that have made their way in museums. So I think there's a good opportunity there to sort of both enjoy the culture and history and also to see it through the eyes of faith. So those are good things to check out if you get the chance.
Now, you just mentioned that you live in Wales. So what are some of your favorite local foods there?
So there's Welsh cakes, which in Welsh are called pica ar y maen, which is little pancakey thing that's got raisins in that's done on a griddle, and that's really delicious. And there's also a type of tea bread called bala brith, which is sort of very rich and brown and fruity, and that's absolutely delicious as well. So if you can get authentic Welsh bara brith, that's definitely worth a taste.
Well, thanks, Caleb, for being a guest again on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you very much. It's been fun.
You've been listening to episode 289 of the Postmodern Realities podcast, and we've been speaking about Christian imagination in the Bible. Today's guest was Caleb Woodbridge. He has written an online exclusive article for our subscribers, and his article is called How Reading the Bible Imaginatively Helps Bypass Our Overfamiliarity. So if you're a subscriber, head on over to our website, equip.org, and read it for free. Now, if you are not already a subscriber, please help us grow our subscription base by subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. Thank you.